Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call of APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dev Rishi Singh of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rico. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on APJ Surendra Park Hotels Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. We have with us Ms. Priya Paul, Chairperson, Mr. Vijay Dewan, Managing Director, Mr. Atul Khosla, SVP Finance and Chief Financial Officer of the company, and Mr. Rabindra Basu, Director, Investor Relations. We will begin the call with opening remarks from the management, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Ms. Priya Paul to make her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the management team at APJ Surendra Park Hotels, I would like to welcome you all to our earnings conference call. FY25 has truly been a defining year in our journey, and this performance is a direct outcome of the passion and perseverance demonstrated by our outstanding teams across the country. Their commitment continues to drive our success and strengthen our leadership position in the upper upscale segment of India's hospitality landscape. This year also marked a key inflection point in our luxury strategy, with the successful launches of high-end properties, the Lotus Palace Chettinad and Ranbath, the Palace at Patiala, which have further elevated our brand positioning in the upscale luxury segment. Both hotels have already won numerous awards and accolades. In parallel, our teams have done a commendable job in advancing and securing new high-end projects such as Juhu, Mumbai and Kochi. There are other developments that are going to set to enhance our presence in strategic markets and contribute meaningfully in the near term. Our premium hospitality vision also extends beyond hotels to F&B, with Fleury's now operating 102 outlets across formats. This growth reaffirms Fleury's position as a beloved and scalable brand in India's evolving F&B landscape. The F&B landscape continues to be a strong differentiator for us, with signature restaurants and bars across our properties continuing to attract robust customers. We continue to invest in curating experiences and creating new concepts that reinforce the Park Hotels' positioning as a culinary destination. The hospitality industry is really well placed to benefit from growth in both domestic and international travel. And we at the Park Hotels and at Zone Hotels are strongly positioned across the country to capitalize on this momentum. Government initiatives are playing a crucial role in fostering sectoral growth, with investments in infrastructure, airport expansion and tourism-led policies paving the way for long-term industry expansion. All our greenfield projects at Pune, Visakhapatnam, Kolkata, Navi Mumbai are progressing well and are at advanced stages of permissions, etc. You will be hearing more of this in the near future as we harness the growth opportunities in India. With a portfolio of exceptional brands and a strong commitment to innovative hospitality services, we continue to maintain a distinct competitive edge. Our focus remains on sustainable growth through our clear position as a boutique luxury provider in the upper upscale segment. Our vision of leadership through differentiation continues to be our guiding principle, setting us apart and reinforcing our unique value proposition across India. I am delighted that our board has approved a maiden dividend of 50%, a reflection of our performance and our commitment to sharing our success with our partners. With this, I would like to hand over to Vijay Devan, our Managing Director, who will take you through the detailed operational and financial highlights of Q4 FY25. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Paul. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you. We are absolutely delighted to have you with us on this earnings call. On behalf of my entire leadership team, I want to extend our sincere thanks for your unwavering support and belief in our journey ahead. Your confidence has powered our momentum, and today we are excited to share not just results, but real progress. We are deeply committed to creating long-term value and build a business that makes us all proud. FY25 has been a standout year for APJ Surendra Park Hotels in terms of growth, progress, and success, made possible for the commitment and dedication of our teams. It gives me great pleasure to share that we closed the year on a strong note, backed by consistent performance across both our hospitality and F&B verticals. Over the year, we deepened our presence in our key business markets, sustained leadership in occupancy and RevPAR, and advanced several growth initiatives across owned and asset-light portfolio. We have executed several key initiatives during the year, laying a strong foundation for future growth. We opened two palace properties, the Lotus Palace Chettinad and Ranbas the Palace at Patiala, both of which marked our entry into the heritage luxury segment and have been received very positively by our guests. We also undertook widespread renovations across our portfolio, including the refurbishment of nearly 100 rooms and the successful relaunch of our four F&B venues. These efforts are already contributing to ARR upliftment and enhanced guest satisfaction. The Lotus Palace Chettinad recorded an ARR of 14,699 for the year, and Ranbas the Palace Patiala recorded an occupancy of 42% with an ARR of 24,000 in Q4. The ARR at Ranbas is likely to further go up as the hotel matures and stabilizes. Ranbas the Palace, effective February of 2025, is now a member of Raleigh and Chateau, world's leading collection of 580 luxury hotels and fine dining restaurants. Membership, marketing, branding under Raleigh and Chateau, as you know, means luxury positioning and luxury pricing. Both the Palace hotels, as they stabilize in this year, will lead to higher ARR at the ASPHL level. Q4 25 has been the best ever for us, with revenue registering a strong double-digit growth of 16.3% on a Y2Y basis and an operating EBITDA rising by 21% on a Y2Y basis. PAT grew by 44.1%, reflecting strong demand trends across both business and leisure segments. We continue to retain our occupancy leadership, achieving India's highest occupancy of 92%, and maintain our position as a market leader in RevPAR in the upper upscale segment. Our flagship property in Calcutta achieved 100% occupancy, while Navi Mumbai and Chennai recorded strong momentum at 95% and 93% respectively. New Delhi, Hyderabad and Bangalore also performed well, each recording occupancy in the range of 91%. This consistent performance reflects our sharp focus on guest experience, operational excellence and brand strength, reinforcing our leadership in RevPAR in the upper upscale segment. Both ARR and RevPAR increased by 13% in Q4 on a year-to-year basis, reflecting strong growth across our portfolios. Growth in our hotel business remains our primary goal, and this will remain so. We have recently signed a binding MOU for the acquisition of 60 service apartments under Zillion Hotels and Resorts at Juhu in Mumbai. This has an acquisition cost of 209 crores for 90% of the stake. We expect to close this transaction by the end of July during the course of the year, and we plan to convert these 60 service apartments into an 80-room hotel with a rooftop bar. This hotel is expected to open in July 26th and will be positioned in the ultra-luxury boutique hotel segment. Mumbai is India's strongest market in terms of ARR, and opening of this hotel will add a minimum of 25 to 30 crores in the bottom line in the full year of operation of the company. We have also signed an MOU to acquire Malabar House at Fort Kochi, 17 rooms, and Purity Hotel, 14 rooms, at Lake Vemmenad. The Malabar House is also a Raleigh and Chateau hotel with a high ARR. These transactions are expected to close by July this year. Since these are running hotels, they will immediately add to our revenue and EBITDA, and the total cost for this acquisition is 60 crores, payable in a structured deal of 22 crores in FY26 and 38 crores in FY27. In addition to these acquisitions, we plan to add another 206 keys on the asset light side of the model during the course of the year. The overall target on the asset light side of the model remains at 500 keys every year. As on March 31st, 2025, we have now 35 hotels with a total of 2,394 keys, and our growth momentum continues in line with our multi-brand strategy. Our development pipeline remains robust, and over the next 5 years, we aim to more than double our total key count to 5,403 keys, including 880 keys across our own projects in Pune, EM Bypass, Calcutta, Vizag, Navi Mumbai, and Jaipur. These projects are progressing as planned, with permissions and preparatory work well underway. We expect to launch sales of 100 service apartments at Kolkata ahead of the festive season, with expected annual cash generation of rupees 100 crores every year over the next 3 years. These developments are being executed on our in-house land banks, enabling high capital efficiency and strong projected IRRs of 30 to 40%. Supported by healthy cash flows and apartment monetization, we expect to remain net cash positive throughout the development cycle, a key part of our business strategy. I'm happy to inform that we have also received a credit rating upgrade of A+ stable from ICRA earlier this year, further validating our disciplined capital management approach. Fruities, our iconic bakery and confectionery brand, crossed the 100 store milestone this year and currently operates 103 outlets with a growing presence across formats. During FY25, we opened 25 new outlets, including launches in Mumbai, Indore, Hyderabad, Kolkata, Bhubaneswar, and Siliguri. We are on track to reach 200 stores by 2027, the centenary year of Fruities, supported by a new central production facility planned in the NCR region, designed to propel growth in the whole of North India. Moving forward, we plan to open more cafes, which would be more profitable to our business. We continue to target industry-leading margins in Fruities and have set an annual target, or a benchmark target actually, of rupees 1 crore for mature cafes and restaurants under the Fruities format. Coming back to our current financial performance on a full year basis, that is FY25, consolidated net revenues grew by 9.1% Y-on-Y to 653 crores compared to 592 crores in FY24. EBITDA for the year stood at 226 crore, up from 205 crores in FY24. Profit before tax rose significantly to 148 crore, marking a 67.1% Y-on-Y increase, while PAT stood at 84 crores, highest so far for our company compared to 69 crores in the previous year. These results show the strength of our business model, robust customer demand, and our consistent focus on operational excellence. I would also like to once again highlight that the board has approved the first ever dividend of 50%, a milestone event in the company's history. This reflects the strength of our balance sheet and the strong growth momentum which we have achieved and underscores our commitment to sharing our success. Finally, our long-term strategy continues to be guided by the 3G framework of growth, governance, and green. Sustainability remains embedded in our expansion plans with focus on water conservation, carbon efficiency, and responsible waste management. I am pleased to announce that four of our hotels are now IGPC green certified. As we are in FY26, we do so with optimism and strong momentum. The business fundamentals remain solid and our development pipeline is progressing well and our strategic roadmap is supported by a prudent capital structure and a disciplined execution. As I have highlighted in the previous call, we believe that the hospitality sector is entering a long-term super cycle and would unfold over the next decade. Additionally, segments like spiritual tourism, weddings, wildlife tourism will play a key role in the sector's expansion plan. In the last earning call, we had given a guidance of sustained double-digit growth and we have delivered. For this year, 25-26, we are now confident to deliver high-teen growth both in terms of revenue as well in terms of EBITDA margin. Once again, I would like to extend my heartfelt gratitude to our shareholders, our customers, our team members, well-wishers, friends, and business partners for their continued trust and belief in us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Hussein Baruchwala with Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. May I request you to use your handset, please?
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir, but it's slightly muffled, sir.
So basically, we acquired an asset in Mumbai. So I wanted to understand what's the rationale of acquiring an asset in Mumbai because we were never positioned in Mumbai. And now entering into Mumbai market, so what's the long-term vision? Why? What was the purpose of acquisition? And we were debt-free. We almost turned debt-free with this. And now with this acquisition, how we see our balance sheet shaping up?
So the balance sheet, as you know, is firstly very, very strong. The company is currently net cash positive. And we have at the moment mutual fund deposits of roughly 60 crores or so, 54 crores they were at the end of March and now they are ahead of 60 crores as of now. And I expect this to be at the 70 crore mark by the end of June. Very critically, we have to understand that every year we are producing an EBITDA margin of over 200 crores. So this should be relatively helping us in remaining positive. Yes, there may be some short-term requirement of funds which may happen during during the course of the process. Bombay has been the missing link in our growth plan because it has always been our objective to be present in all the metro cities of the country. And once we are there in Mumbai, it'll create a much stronger network in terms of corporate business as well as in terms of leisure business. It will propel further, all the corporate transactions will further propel our ARR and our overall growth.
So is it an existing or running hotel which is currently there? What I understand, it's an old hotel which we have to revamp and restart. So won't it take much time? Then what do we anticipate? What is your thought process on that?
So this is firstly, to explain this in detail, these are 60 service apartments which will be converted into roughly about 80 hotel rooms, and it will be positioned not as service apartment but as an ultra luxury boutique hotel in Juhu. So what is going to happen as far as this transaction is concerned, we are supposed to pay only 160 crores during the course of the year for acquiring 76% of the stake. The balance 44 to 45 crores is actually going to be paid in the following year, after about a year. So the deal is being structured 161 crores now and about 45 crores at the end of a year. What will happen is that with this structuring, it will help us in managing our cash flow. What is again very important is that this is an existing structure, and we plan to upgrade this, renovate this, and it will take roughly about a year. So we should be able to launch this hotel, as I mentioned in my remarks, by July of next year, and it will add about 25 to 30 crores to our EBITDA in a full stabilized year of operation. Very critically here is that we have acquired this property, and it has a 60,000 square feet of built-up area in the prime location of Juhu. So the acquisition cost roughly is below 40,000 rupees a square foot in this area. It is important to note that most of the properties are selling north of 60,000. 60,000 is a minimum. In fact, good properties in this area are in the range of 80,000 to 1 lakh square feet, and we have actually got a fantastic deal in the acquisition of Zillion Hotels and Resorts.
Okay, got it. That was the only question from my side. And just wanted to one more point, if I can add. Can you guide on the growth plans for next year? What type of rooms and hotels that we will add? What will be the keys that will be added for the next year? And how do you see the growth next year, if you can add?
So, firstly, I'm going to only talk about the deals which are fully finalized. So, in the next year, as far as the openings are concerned, actually, it's going to be, in terms of our own property, is going to be this property in Mumbai, which is going to open. But during the course of this year, in terms of our own property, we have two hotels opening: the Malabar Hotel in Fort Kochi, and the Purity Hotel in Ramanad Lake, which is 31 rooms together, and it also has a houseboat. Both these properties, firstly, the Malabar House is part of the Raleigh and Chateau collection of hotels, and it is, both the properties are both high ARR projects, and they are going to significantly help in further resetting our ARR at the level. During the course of this year, on the asset-light side of the model, we have so far signed deals for 206 keys, which should open in a phased-wise manner during the course of the year, with openings at Gangtok, Patna, Katra, and another property in Kolkata, as well as Darjeeling. So on the asset-light side of the model, 206 rooms are going to open. And on the ownership side, we are going to have 31 rooms of Malabar House and Purity. And in addition to this, we have a 9-room lease acquisition at Casa Antonio Goa, which is also expected to open by H2 of this year. So a total of 246 keys will open this year. And as I said, 80 rooms for the Juhu property, and we remain committed to adding 500 rooms to our asset-light model every year. Also, in terms of our development plans, they are all in place. Firstly, the work is about to start before the festive season this year at our property in Kolkata, which is 250 rooms and about 70 service apartments. This, as we have explained earlier, is a 6 lakh square feet development of 3 lakh square feet for hotel and 3 lakh square feet for the development of service apartments. And these service apartments are going to be sold in the market. And the selling process of these service apartments actually begins during the course of, during this year. And on a year-to-year basis, this property, the sale of the apartments is going to bring in 100 crores of cash flow to our balance sheet. And this is also a very, very significant part of our growth plan. In terms of Pune, we are at the environmental clearance stage, and once we get the clearance, hopefully by the end of this month, the construction work is about to start. And similarly, at Visakhapatnam, which is a 100-room expansion plan, we are at the CRZ permission stage, which is virtually being granted except for one or two queries. That also is expected by the end of this month. And there also, we are ready to start construction and deliver the project on time. And similarly, I'm very happy to report that there has been additional FSI now available for our property in Navi Mumbai. And instead of doing actually adding another 80 rooms, now we plan to add 180 rooms. And with the kind of demand emerging in the Navi Mumbai area, we plan to make Navi Mumbai as a 250-room hotel going forward over the next 4 years.
Got it, sir. I will come back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Naitik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is, just wanted to understand the service apartments in Kolkata that they're going to sell. Is there going to be any effect on our P&L for the same?
Service apartments, it is not going to impact the P&L at this stage. It will because when we sell the apartments, firstly they are sold in stages in terms of the development of the apartments. This is a 6 lakh square feet development. 3 lakhs, as I explained, is kept for the development of the service apartments. Now, service apartments in Calcutta or the rate in the area of EM bypass is roughly around 20,000 rupees a square foot. And this, on a three-year basis, gives us a total revenue of 600 crores. EM bypass development of service apartment is a joint development agreement with the Ambuja Neotia Group on a 55-45% revenue sharing basis, 55% accruing to us and 45% to the Ambuja Neotia Group, with complete cost being borne by the Ambuja Neotia Group. So if you do overall maths of this business, the sale from the business would be roughly about, sale of the apartments would be roughly 600 crores. So roughly 300 crores coming to us, and roughly about 300 crores going to the Ambuja Group. The 300 crores which we get is going to be coming over a period of 3 years with 100 crores cash flow coming in each financial year. They will be booked once the service apartments are handed over to the buyers, then only they will be booked into the profit and loss statement. Because as per RERA guidelines, at the handover stage, it will impact the P&L. It will shoot up the P&L position. But as far as the cash flow is concerned, we would be getting 100 crores every year.
In FY29, we expect to add 200 plus crore due to the sale of the apartment in the profit. 300 minus about 80 for the sale of a land, 50% cost of the sale of a land. So expected addition to the profit will be about 200 plus crores in the profits, FY29.
Right, got it, sir. My next question is, if you could give me the EBITDA margins that we made in the Flurries for this year.
So Flurries, the Flurries business during the quarter four actually did record growth of 37% on a YTD basis. Flurries business for us grew by, actually it's just the reverse, sorry. The Flurries Q4 revenues grew by 34%, and on a YTD basis, Flurries business grew by 37%. And we have recorded an EBITDA margin of 12% in the Flurries business for this year.
And this would be without considering rent. So rent would be below this 12%.
Yes, it will be below this. Absolutely, you are right. So Flurries business is being currently operated. Let me explain to you. We have 103 outlets with a very recent opening in the last few days in Gangtok. Actually, we were at 102 outlets as mentioned earlier. So what happens is that out of the 100 outlets, we have about 51% on three outlets. 51% are in the kiosk format at the moment, and 10% is in the restaurant format, and the balance 39% is in the cafe format. Going forward, as we understand this business better, and this is the fastest business in the country, growing by about 19 to 20% on an annualized basis. And we have understood this now that the cafe business is more profitable. So we are going to be changing the mix of this business from higher kiosk to cafes as we go forward. And we'll make all efforts to see that it becomes further profitable. The F&B business, as we are seeing on an all India basis, these margins which we are producing for this business remain industry leading margins.
Sir, is it possible to give the pre-Ind AS margin number for full year for Flurries?
In post-rental, the margins will be around 8 to 9%.
8 to 9%. Got it, sir. So my next question is, if you could give the number for management contracts, the revenue that we did for the full year 25.
Management contract full year is 15 crores.
15 crores.
So important thing about the management side of the business, as Mr. Khosla mentioned, the business has grown from 12 crores to 15 crores. There has been a fantastic increase of 24% in this business. And this business is very crucial to us because it has a flow through of about 70%. So far, we have achieved 65% of flow through. So as we move forward, this business will continue to grow at this rate, and or even a faster rate. And we will be further enhancing the flow through from this business.
Right. So my last question is regarding the acquisition we did in Juhu. So if you could give us the expected ARR occupancy and revenue potential that we are expecting from this property, that would be very helpful.
So firstly, let's look at the Mumbai market. It is really short in supply in terms of rooms. For your information, the Mumbai market has only 16,100 rooms. Compared to Delhi, which is also running short on supply. Delhi has about 16,200 rooms. What is very important to note is that over the next 5 years in Mumbai, only 1,800 rooms are going to be coming into the city of Mumbai as per the last report of Hotelivate, and also supported by the HTL industry report. So Bombay is actually going to have very, very limited supply. And more importantly, there is virtually no supply coming in into this area of Juhu. No supply is expected in the Juhu area over the next 5 years. And Juhu also, Bombay operates in various micro markets, and Juhu ARRs at the moment are in the range of 20 to 25,000. So 1 to 2 years down, 1 year down the line, we also expect, and with no supply coming in, and particularly the 1,800 rooms are coming outside the Juhu area, we expect our ARRs also to be in a similar range of 20 to 25%. And Park's biggest advantage is that it never falters in terms of its occupancy. We have always achieved for all our hotels consistently over the last 10 years over 90% occupancy. And with this huge demand-supply imbalance, and specifically in the Juhu area, we expect very high occupancy and very high ARRs. That is why we are confident of delivering 25 to 34 crores in terms of the EBITDA margin. We are also very strong in managing nightclubs and bars, and this hotel is going to have a fantastic rooftop bar. And this bar is going to be overlooking from the rooftop. One could see the sea, and it's going to make a very big difference to the top line of this hotel. And one of our biggest strengths is in running nightclubs and bars, apart from having India's leading occupancy.
Right, sir. So any kind of number in terms of revenue that we are looking at? I understand that 25, 30 crores in terms of bottom line you would be expecting this new acquisition would add to us.
So Bombay is going to very clearly be, because of high ARR, I am expecting that the margin in this would be around the 45% mark. So roughly about 70 to 80 crores should be the top line, which they are planned and consistently growing thereon.
Right. And sir, if I look at your next year's sort of guidance, double digit revenue guidance, most of it, safe to assume most of it is going to come from ARR growth only.
No, firstly growth. Firstly, in the last quarter, I specifically made this guidance that we will achieve double digit growth, and we have actually exceeded expectations by giving a 16% growth on the top line in Q4. We expect not only double-digit growth, as I mentioned, it's going to be high-teen double-digit growth, both on the revenue side as well as on the EBITDA side, and we are very, very confident about it. But let me also give a slight amount of caution that it is going to be at a YTD basis we will achieve this high teen growth. There is a certain amount of pressure which is in Q1 of this year, not for reasons which are related to geopolitical tensions in the month of April, and our successful war against Pakistan in May, and we are proud that we could defeat them. But that has had some sort of an impact on the growth. But the most important thing is that despite all this, despite some sort of disruption in the north, we continue to be at the double-digit mark. So at the moment, at the end of May, I'm happy to report that our growth rate continues to be 12% at the moment, and we expect further improvement in our business in the month of June. So there has been a little bit of pressure in the month of May, but that is for the geopolitical reasons. But everything is back in line, and we expect good results in the quarter. But I am very confident to deliver on a YTD basis high teen double digit growth, which will come from the hotel side as well as the growth in our Flurries business.
Good, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Archana Gude with IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone, and congratulations to the management team for a very good set of Q4 and FY25 earnings. So I have two questions. Firstly on the top line, you spoke about maybe the higher teens growth for FY26. With these kind of numbers, so what kind of sustainable operating margins we should consider for FY26, given that, on YY, the margins are slightly subdued for FY25. But since the new hotels, what we opened in FY25 should have higher RevPAR than the last year, and that should reflect in the better operating margins for FY26.
Last
so
year,
firstly, thank you, Archana, for this great question, and thank you for being with us over the year. So thank you so much. The important part is that, firstly, you mentioned that there has been a slight reduction in our EBITDA margin by roughly about 1%. But don't forget that this always happens when you launch new properties and you launch so many outlets of bakery and confectionery and cafes. So these two launches are very premium luxury segment launches which will pay high dividends as we go along as these properties mature and they stabilize. So there have been launch costs. There have been advertising costs. So for that reason, primarily we can say that there has been a slight reduction in the operating margin. But as we go forward, I'm very confident that not only we will deliver high teen growth on the revenue side as well as on the EBITDA side, but we will be working to improving our margins from at least 100 to 200 basis points, setting aside the 1% dip which we have had in Q4.
Right, sir. Sir, on this very, very robust guidance of adding 50 new outlets in FY26 and taking the number to 150 plus, that is very, very encouraging. Just on the margin side, sir, 12% what we achieved in FY25, I'm sure, with this focus of shifting the more number to cafes from kiosks, that will add to your margin expansion. Plus, how do we, envisage this number 12% taking to 15%, let's say 2 to 3 years down the line? Because I think that's a very big lever for us as a company in terms of earnings growth as well as, the company's value creation for the shareholders.
So firstly, what I've seen is that I actually in my opening remarks, I said that our first objective, as we have understood, of course, and as we plan, our first objective is to see how do we get to at least 1 crore per store. Currently, if we look at the overall average, we are about roughly about 65 lakhs per store. And okay. Why is it 65 lakhs per store? Is because we have, because of the mix of the stores we have. So if we were to take this first towards more cafes and more restaurants, but primarily more cafes, we will be hitting that target. So that will take us to a faster revenue growth model. In terms, and also the margins, as we have seen, because of high revenues in the cafes, are actually the costs are well distributed. And as a result of this, the margins are going to improve because of that. So this, the shift from kiosk to cafe is going to help in terms of improving of the revenues, and with the improving of the revenue, the improving of the margin. And second is, of course, as we stabilize and as we mature, we will be constantly working to improve the efficiencies. This business also has certain amount of wastages, which are a lot of effort is now underway to reduce any kind of wastage, and reduction in wastages will also lead to improvement of margin.
Right, sir. Well said. And so lastly, if I can ask, on bookkeeping question on the CapEx. So with this new acquisition plan for this FY26 and the capital expenditure for Flurries and the existing hotels, what kind of CapEx amount we should consider for FY26?
Around roughly about 300 crores, but Atul will share with you the greater details of this.
See, in case of Zillion, we are putting a CapEx of 166 crores, which is the first tranche. The normal CapEx is around 40 crores, and then Flurries is about 25 crores, so about 65 crores this, 65 and 160, about 225. And another 80-100 crores will be on the project, so around 300-320 crores. That is the normal spend which we this is spent for the CapEx this year. And out of which, I have a mutual fund balance of at present about 65 crores. And plus this year, last year EBITDA was 225, and this year, even if I put some IT growth also, so it will be, I don't want to place a number on that, so but it will be about to high teens to around growth over the last year. So you will see it's fully covered in terms of financing. But we will be taking, keeping, as a matter of precaution, we will be keeping a line of credit available.
Sure, Atul, that was helpful. Thank you so much, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Archana.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, Vikas. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Sir, my first question is, you know, thanks for clarifying the war-related impact in May. Anything, you know, with this recent virus-related news, any cancellation or any impact we are witnessing around that front?
Could you repeat the question?
Sir, I was saying that initially, you know, in the last participant asked, you clarified the impact of, you know, war-led, you know, whatever you did talk about, that growth in May is a little slower than it was earlier expected. Any impact you're seeing in terms of, you know, this virus-led news, which is going that, you know, the new variant, couple of new variants of COVID, which are... Any kind of a cancellation or any impact we are seeing on that front?
So far it is not impacted. It's not impacted the airline business, and it has not impacted our business. But let me again tell you that, as far as our hotel company is concerned, that we have gone through a crisis in both 2021 and 2022, and during the COVID period also. Our objective was to give the best performance, and we had India's highest occupancy of 67% in year one of COVID and 72% in year two of COVID. So we, even if things were to be not at the best, we would deliver the best results. But at the moment, there is no impact, and we hope that it'll have absolutely no impact. Because this is a variant, and it's not an alarming situation. It's not being declared as an alarming virus so far. Yes, this will keep coming back. It came back in between also, and it did not impact our business. I do not expect, or I cannot predict this on the whole, but as of now, I'm not seeing that it's going to have an impact.
Sure, sir. My second question is, you know, you just clarified on this Juhu hotel. So I think maybe I missed it, but you did talk about that the bottom line is going to be north of 20% for this hotel during the normalized operation. So which means, roughly, you know, it's going, the acquisition is at single-digit EV/EBITDA on a full year basis once it's fully operational. Is that understanding correct? And just to follow up to that, you know, our portfolio is pretty diversified across market, and now, you know, we are entering and heavily into Mumbai also. So why do we think we should be available in all markets than just focusing on, you know, a couple of core markets where we have more advantage? I'm just trying to understand why we are trying to be more and more diversified.
Atul, would you like to take the question?
Yeah. In terms of, as you said, we expect about 25 crore of the EBITDA in case of Xilium. So 10-20-25+ crore EBITDA. So 25 crore EBITDA, roughly, yeah, you are saying, yeah, in terms of multiples, yes, 8-10 per single digit, about 8-9 is the multiple of the acquisition.
Okay. Okay.
That's
Okay. Okay, sure.
So the acquisition is being looked at both from the multiple point of view, as well as, we had to enter the city of Mumbai. So as far as the multiple is concerned, it is well in place. Actually, there is a good opportunity there. I feel that once we have positioned it in the ultra-luxury segment and with virtually no supply coming in the Juhu area, there is no reason why this hotel will not give us, roughly about 30 crore in terms of EBITDA, and that will fully justify our entry. And then don't forget that once you have entered the city of Mumbai, and we have this entire metro city presence across all the six major metros, these are the key growth markets in the country, and this hotel at Juhu is also going to help the corporate tie-ups, and it'll also help in terms of increasing ARRs further for the growth.
Sir, just one final bookkeeping. You did explain that 300 crore would be the CapEx for FY 2026. Is it possible to give us some rough, you know, idea of about FY 2027 and 2028 also, and how much would be maybe maintenance versus expansion CapEx? This is my last question. Thanks a lot.
So thank you, Vikas. So on an overall basis, I think over the next 5 years, our CapEx plan is roughly in the range of around 1,700 crore-1,800 crore, depending upon existing and future acquisitions. But Atul will give you the breakup in greater detail.
So we expect about 850 keys to be added to at the rate of 1.2 crore per annum, so roughly about 1,100 crore is the construction cost, you can say. For the, these are for the Pune, I'm assuming. Pune, 200 rooms, Mumbai, 250 rooms, Vizag, 100 rooms, Mumbai Bypass, 250 rooms, and Jaipur, 150 rooms. So these are the cost. Out of which, we will have from sale of proceeds of cash flow proceeds of Mumbai Bypass, 300 crore comes back, so we have about 800 crore as the greenfield project cost. In addition to this, we have Xilium, about 210 crore is the total cost for the total cost, and out of plus renovation, about 50 crore. So 250-260 crore is the Xilium cost, Mumbai, and Kochi is another 60 crore, so it another 310 crore gets added. So we have plus we have a operation CapEx of 400 crore, 40 crore per annum, which is about 200 crore, and full addition we expect in 5 years, 200 crore. So overall CapEx comes to about 1,600 crore. We expect an EBITDA on an average basis also, if I take, is about 250 crore for 5 years, which will cover about 1,250 crore. Now, 300 crore is will be financed through some lines of credit or through internal surpluses. I have not assumed further growth in EBITDA, but in addition to this, important point is that as the Pune gets operational, and Pune gets operational in FY 2028.
27.
27. Financial year, 2027-2028. So, and Mumbai Bypass post next year to FY 2029, Vizag FY 2028-2029, it will be again be 6 months operational. These hotels will have a revenue, which is expected, total revenue is about 500 crore addition in the revenue, because Pune will do 100 crore. Mumbai Bypass is expected to hotel do 125 crore plus. Mumbai, Navi Mumbai, which gets in FY 2030, it should also do 125 crore plus revenue. Vizag will do about 75 crore revenue, and Jaipur, another 80 crore revenue. This addition of 5, which year-on-year basis, they keep on adding, this 520 to 550 crore will also add another 45% of a EBITDA margin, because these all new additions in the market are the prime locations, and as per the industry experts, like it we did at IP also HTL, the expectation is ARRs on all these areas at present due to demand supply drag and the positioning of the markets is about 10K plus is the ARR average. So that is where the thing. So there is further, so I don't expect that we will remain net debt surplus only.
No, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks. Wish you luck for the next quarter. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Mule with YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a strong set of numbers. I had a few questions on your broad strategy. So we have recently acquired some of the smaller properties in leisure segment, including two properties in Kochi and one in Goa. So I just wanted to understand the rationale behind this, given our major presence is into metro and tier one cities, and we have limited presence into leisure. So why have we gone for a smaller scale properties where the operating leverage benefits are also limited? And going forward, are we expecting to do such smaller acquisitions in future, and that too on the leisure side?
So presently we are well positioned in the metro city as well as in the business cities across India. So the missing link for us was being present in leisure destinations. Currently we are operating hotels in the leisure destinations also, but under in the asset-light side of the model. We roughly in Goa itself, we have about 120 odd keys on the asset light side of the model. And this is a 100-year-old of Casa Antonio, which we are going to take under lease, is a 100-year-old Portuguese villa, which has 9 keys, and it's going to be very unique and very special. It is in Anjuna Beach and very close to Purple Martini, one of the famous bars in Goa. So this will be our first presence in Goa on the lease side of the model. And there is, again, very high potential in the leisure markets in India. Leisure business has a higher demand-supply mismatch at the moment in India over the next 5 years. If we were to look at the overall demand-supply mismatch in the country, demand is expected to grow at 10.6% and supply is expected to grow at about 8%. But critical thing is to see how this is in the top 8 cities as well as in the leisure destinations. So the leisure destinations has a higher demand supply mismatch of about 400 basis point. So it is, we feel it is the right time to enter the leisure markets. And also we have got these two properties which are in Cochin. Firstly, it further strengthens our position in the south. It creates a fantastic circuit for us in the south, being present in Hyderabad, Bangalore, as well as being present in Chennai and Coimbatore. So it really strengthens our position as a brand in the south, both in the leisure segment now as well as in the business segment. So it will. So the overall idea is to have hotels across not only in the business destination, but overall strategy is to have a pan-India presence. So it's also part of that overall strategy. So we want to, we are a leading player in the business segment at the moment, but we also want to become a strong and very differentiated player in the leisure segment as well as in the leisure segment in these destinations as we move forward. That's also part of our strategy.
Great, sir. Just a follow-up on this. What kind of ARRs do you expect for your Cochin properties and Goa property? And the margins that these properties are expected to generate?
So margins in leisure destinations, because these are going to be actually, firstly, the Malabar House. If you were to look at it, it's a fantastic property in Fort Kochi. And first thing is that it is a Raleigh and Chateau hotel. And Raleigh and Chateau hotels always, in terms of ARR, enjoy a premium than any other hotel in the city of where they are. So we expect this hotel has been doing ARRs of 20,000, in the range of 20,000. And in fact, the Purity Hotel, which has 14 rooms, is in fact even better position in the webinar list. So I'm expecting, as we get control and our management takes over, I'm expecting firstly to retain these ARRs and then push them up further.
Got it, sir. And lastly, on your management contract side, you have already given guidance for 206 keys to be added in FY26, but which is lower than your annual guidance of 500 keys to be added each year. So how do you plan to fill this gap, or should we expect higher number of additions in FY27?
So it's a good question, Vaibhav. Thank you. But most important is that currently, these are current, we have just entered 25-26, and these are the current deals which we have, which are fully, and these are signed HMAs, that is Hotel Management Agreement. There are many hotels which are in the pipeline. There are hotels in the north, there are more hotels in the pipeline in Goa, there are hotels in South India as well, there are hotels which are under negotiations. So the target to deliver to our shareholders and investors remains 500, and we are very confident that we should be able to deliver numbers in and around that. So 500 is the YTD target. Currently 206 are guaranteed to open as we sit in quarter one. There is no reason that why more hotels are not going to be ready and taken over. Some will get deflagged from other brands, and we will take over, and there's no reason that we should not be able to do close to 500 is the overall mark. So the strategy at the moment over the next 4 to 5 years is that currently we have about 999 keys, so let's 1,000 keys at the moment in the asset-light side of the model. We plan to take it to 3,000 keys over the next 5 years. So there will be there's a full effort, there's a full development team which is working and on this, and their target is to deliver 500 and 600 rooms during the course of the year. 200 is signed and done deals for as of now.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much for answering the question, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Vaibhav.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anuj Kashyap with A3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I am audible.
Sir, before you go ahead, may I request that you use your handset, please, sir? Audio slightly muffled,
sir. So, I am audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So, what I wanted to know was that what is the average time taken by a tourist cafe to mature, and what is the sales growth of a mature cafe? Could you share that number, please?
So the average time, we actually are very prudent. We are also very firstly focused in terms of the selection of the outlets. We are very careful as to where we are opening the outlets. We are careful in terms of what kind of rentals we are ready to pay. In terms of the locations are very are handpicked. Like we have opened in Kulapa at the Sea Palace Hotel. which is a location, which is a prime location. Then we have opened, say, in BKC, in the Crescenzo building, which is also a prime location. Likewise, we have opened in Malad, in the Inorbit Mall, and similarly, we open now at the airports in both T1 and T2. So in T2, we are present at the moment in Food Court, which is a very big outlet of ours. And then we have just opened in T1, in the T1 Arrival Food Court. And if you are from Bombay and if you are arriving at T1, and if you go to the T1, it is one of the most fantastic outlets, again, we have opened in Mumbai. So the selection of the outlet is very important. These outlets, they do stabilize in 3 to 4 months' time only. But some outlets, they take about 6 months to stabilize. The only thing is that when we are launching an outlet, yes, there are additional promotional costs and there are additional advertising costs. So, but they do stabilize roughly in about 4 to 6 months' time.
And so, what is the sales growth number of a mature store? Mature store, not after 6 months.
I will give you those details. So, Mumbai is the market which we have just entered. But in Calcutta, where we are having 67 outlets, we are having same store growth of roughly in the range of 9 to 11%. So on an average, about 10% we have achieved, which is very significant. And this is consistent post-COVID. We are seeing 9 to 11% consistent same store growth. Reason is, of course, largely dependent on the kind of products we have and the kind of service and the kind of design. So there have been branding changes, there have been packaging changes, and there have been design changes as we are going along. And all this is helping in same store growth. Also, there is a lot of focus which we are now having, not only on the confectionery section, but also on the cafe side of the coffee side of the business. We have launched Flurry's Tea of our own under our own brand, and we have also launched Flurry's Coffee. And I would request you, urge you to try our new Flurry's brand of coffee. It will really surprise you in terms of the aroma, the taste, and the energy which it will sort of give you. So it's absolutely fantastic. The beans are being again very carefully selected, particularly the Flurry's coffee gold beans are really special, and the coffee and tea business is now 19% of our business in the city of Bombay, and that is making a difference. I would be able to give you same store growth numbers for Mumbai, since we just entered just less than a year ago or a year and a half ago. We will be able to share with you possibly in the next earnings call. But in Calcutta, where the outlets have matured, the earnings growth, the same store growth is in the range of 9 to 11%.
Thank you, sir. I just called your information. I've tried the Flurry's tea for the meeting. Just to let you know. I've not tried the coffee yet. Yes. Congratulations and best of luck for the future.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dheeraj Swari with RR Investments. Please go ahead. Mr. Dheeraj, your line has been unmuted. May I request you to unmute your line and go ahead with your question?
Hello, am I audible now?
No, sir. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Hello, Mr. Dhawan. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. My first question would be that
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Dheeraj. Your line is not clear, sir. May we request you to use your handset in case you're using a Bluetooth device?
Okay, is it audible right now?
Yes, sir. This is better.
Yeah. Okay, so my congratulations on the results, first of all. And my first question would be that, as we are seeing on the global scenario and the Indian scenario also, that most of the biggest hotel brands in the world, like Marriott, Hilton, and Hyatt, all of these are like the main growth driver for them is the loyalty program that they offer. That you go anywhere in the world, you will find a Marriott or Hilton. So most of their clients like to stay at the hotel for the reward points. And even in the Indian scenario, there's ITC, there's Indian Hotels, which offers loyalty points. So I wanted to understand that how is our loyalty programs of the park performing? Like how much of our bookings happen from our loyal clients from our own website? If you have a number for that.
Okay, so the park, thank you, Dheeraj. So the park also has a loyalty program. And in this loyalty program, we are very close to 2 lakh members at the moment. It's called the Park Preferred Program.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, to be precise, we have at the moment 1,95,000 members. And this business is very, very critical to us. And the market mix, so it is divided into three tiers of memberships we
yes,
have.
Yes, sir, I understand it's the gold, diamond, and other black
yeah,
membership.
So the black,
I wanted to understand how much of our bookings happen from our loyalty programs. Like there are third-party websites where most of the bookings happen in India. But I wanted to understand what is our mix of bookings? Like are the 60%, 80% of the bookings happen from our site?
No, so the booking breakdown is firstly like this. 3% of our business is actually coming through our brand website at the moment. That is for the year which has gone by. And roughly about 49% of our business is coming through online travel agents. And the balance is through our own sources.
Okay, okay, that's great. And I wanted to understand that we are majorly focusing on tier 1 cities. But if we see that in the past year also, most of the hotel deals that are happening in the country are happening in tier 2 and tier 3 cities where most people are, you know, more moving towards traveling in new areas. So like what is our strategy for that? Like we are not very aggressive about it. We are mostly doing heavy capex in the metro cities for expanding the cities. But the regional play is getting a lot of momentum right now.
So you are absolutely right that India today is very strongly emerging in tier, and the hospitality business is strongly emerging in tier 2 and tier 3 towns. So most of our asset light expansion is taking place in tier 2 and tier 3 cities. We have 2 brands at the moment in that category, Zone by the Park and Zone Connect by the Park. And the Zone brand of ours is a strong social catalyst brand, which is named for young contemporary Indians, you know, who want to stay in contemporary boutique hotels at an affordable price. So we have seen, and also it has, yeah, that it is a brand which understands the contemporary global customer. It is always well connected. It is vibrant, energetic, and it is always buzzing. It is a place which is to be seen. So we have this brand which is there for tier 2 and tier 3. And as we get the right opportunity, we will invest in tier 2 and tier 3 cities. So this is a social catalyst brand which is for the design conscious and the value conscious customers. It's beautifully designed. It's designed largely in-house with the contribution of our chairperson. And of course we have Project Orange supporting the design work from London.
Okay. Sir, and another question would be that, like, so when the IPO was released, we like reduced most of our debt from the IPO money, and right now we are mostly a debt-free company only, and the debt-to-equity ratio is way too low. So my question is, why are we not leveraging ourselves right now? Like, most of the companies in the hotel space right now are like taking more and more debt for high IRR projects and expanding very aggressively, but we are taking a more slow stance in debt. We have a very strong balance sheet on our books. Like, the equity portion is a lot, but we are not taking a lot of debt to expand more.
Firstly, I'll ask Atul to give you a detailed answer on this. My own take is that we have to, of course, get the property at the right price, and we have to be conscious of giving the right return to our shareholders. Property prices in are at the highest, and at the moment, and it, we have to be very careful in the selection of the property. Ideally, for a hotel to do exceptionally well in terms of its EBITDA numbers, it's very important that the cost of acquisition of the land should not exceed in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities more than 20%, and in typically in metro cities around maybe 25 to 30%. So we are looking for support here from the government to give us infrastructure status, give us increased FSI when we are able to bring in investments. But the project, according to me, has to be first viable, and the cost of the land has to be within the parameters of setting a hotel. The moment we'll get a good deal, we will certainly be investing.
So I would further like to add on this, that we are evaluating opportunities constantly. We have repaid all our debt post IPO. So at present, we are sitting, we can leverage it, but we have projects on hand. And as we explained to you, we have about 1,500 crore of capex, including the recent acquisition. So that means 15 to 16 crore of acquisitions and project financing, which will be routed through internal accruals, as well as some line of credit, which could be 200 crore of it, roughly a line of credit. But we have a constant, we are going in a going phase with a EBITDA of roughly 250 crore per annum. So it will keep, so that is self-financing, one. Second is, as the new projects also come in, as they kick in, which from FY28 and FY29, they will, and FY30, they will add in about 525 crores of top line, with a further addition of about 45% of EBITDA, which also gives us a further cash flow. So at present, we, that is the another thing. Third thing is, we have set up an internal target. If required, we'll be evaluating the opportunity for growth like we have done as Zillion, but we would like to be within a debt by EBITDA of 2. And as we are a, which is a viable and a bankable opportunity, like let's say Zillion, if we said it's a like 8 to 9 forward EBITDA multiple, so that kind of an opportunity we are looking. If we get an opportunity, we are sitting, we will be leveraging, but with a debt by EBITDA or ratio of up to 2. And with, I think, with sufficient EBITDA margins of 250 crore plus, we do will have a sufficient ground for acquisitions. So that is there. We will go. But opportunity has to be there. In growing market, you have to be very sure. We will not go overboard in terms of acquisition costs. We are very conscious of that fact.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like, we have a strong income statement, a strong balance sheet. Like, we are covering most of our interest expense, and like, we have a lot of room to take more debt if more opportunities will be arising. So yeah, I think you will be like working towards that. All the best for the future, and thanks for answering the questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Vaibhav Mule from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a follow-up on slurries. Can you just share the average revenue rate and how many of your current out of 103 stores that you have, how many are doing more than 1 crore, near 1 crore revenue as of now?
So roughly at the moment, more than 1 crore is just about 4 stores. The okay. rest are in the average range of 50 lakhs plus. That's how the breakup is at the moment. But there is one store which we have, which is at Delhi, which is at Park Street in Calcutta. This okay. store, of course, is from where Fleury started in 1927. This store does revenues of about 12 crores in a year.
Wow. Okay, understood. So, how many of the current portfolio do you expect over next 1 year to cross or get near the 1 crore mark?
So, see, at the moment, we have only a limited number of cafes. A large number of stores are in the kiosk format. So, it is the cafe right. format which can be looked at and pushed upward. So, it will be about... 20 odd of them we are working on, and we expect to convert them moving up from 50 to 60 lakhs to how to make them go up to about a crore.
Got it. And any kiosk that you have shut down or any cafes that have shut down, underperforming ones in the last year?
I follow a very stringent policy. If we fail fast, we need to kill fast. But so far, we have been able to shut about 3 of our stores, and we constantly keep evaluating it, and as and when we feel that a store is not performing, we definitely take a quick decision and make an exit out of it.
Got it. And the guidance remains for 300 stores by 2027, right?
No, for 2027, it is our centenary year. We plan to add 50 stores every year. So our guidance for 27 is 200 stores.
Okay. And by when are you planning to get to 300? 50 stores each will continue for next 4 to 5 years.
Oh, it will continue as we keep moving forward. The challenge, of course, is that being an Indian brand to bring it at level with any international competitor. So
correct.
If you were to look at Starbucks, they tend to open much more stores, so we need to beat them at the game.
Right. And revenue targets are for FY27, if you have any?
For Fleury's, currently the target is around 90 crores. But budgeting, the result, of course, is very at variance with the budgets are always aggressive. So, but I expect somewhere between 80 to 90 crores for sure from Fleury's business. Yeah.
Perfect, sir.
And the team actually surprised us by giving us even 100 crores. We were always pushing for that, but let's see.
Right. Great, sir. Understood. Thank you so much for answering the question.
Thank you. Thank you, Pedro.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So from my side, I'd like to thank everyone for attending this call and showing interest in our brand and in our company, APJ Surendra Park Hotels. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions. And should you need any further clarification or would you like to know more about our company, be free to reach out to us or to Ravinder Basu, our director in investor relations, or to CDR India, and we are all open for that. And thank you so much for taking time to join the call, and see you all at the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.